just press play. Gospel shoes are ready. Take the shield up.
So my message today is on drawing water with joy. You know, coming to the well and being joyful at the well. And this process started in John chapter 4 with the woman. When Jesus met this woman at the well, he started talking to her. He started engaging her, and she was a Samaritan woman. And Jesus was thirsty, and he asked the woman to have a drink. And she was shocked that he would even talk to her. And then when you begin to see this story there, what you begin to see is that Jesus was being an evangelist in that story, because how many people got saved? The whole city got saved. The whole city, the whole town came out and had faith in Christ when other towns in Jerusalem, his hometown, tried to throw him off a cliff. Right? Right? But he goes to Samaria and he is an evangelist. He goes to a place that he normally doesn't hang out. All right? So right now, I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, it's time you start witnessing for Jesus in places you don't normally go. Come on, tell him. Exhort him. Yeah. It's time. It's time. You might just have an appointment with a woman or a guy in Samaria at a well. The well was the gathering place. So there are some gathering places in this town that you may not necessarily go to for whatever reason that God wants us to go to. So, and look, the other thing is when Jesus did evangelism, when he did evangelism in Israel, he did it through signs and wonders. But not in Samaria. Not a single miracle. Not a sign and wonder. What did he do? He prophesied to her. It was a word of knowledge. And at the end, she said, I perceive that you're a prophet. Got it? So there are going to be evangelistic moments. And I believe as a church, we believe in signs and wonders. We want signs and wonders. We want, see, miracles, raising of the dead, miracles, you know, things changing as we pray. But there is something called prophetic evangelism where you go somewhere and you have a word for somebody. You have a word for somebody. And it's not a place that you usually go. Sorry, but, you know, for me, it's Walmart. I don't like to go to Walmart. So God will tell me, sometimes you got to go to Walmart if God wants you to give a word to somebody. There's a prophetic revelation that God has for people where you're not necessarily praying for them. You just come into a conversation with them, get into a conversation with them, and you engage them, and then you just give them the word of the Lord. You say, and what did she say? She said, he knew everything about me. Now, I want to share with you the essence of what a word of knowledge does. If the word of knowledge is from God, does God know everything? Yes. You as a prophet, do we know everything? No. But when you prophesy, the person that you're talking to encounters the all-knowing God. Because if it's a word of the Lord, that person will think that they have been read. Their mail has been read, and every piece of mail and everything. When I met the Lord, I knew it was Jesus, because there was something about the word of the Lord to me is like, this is the Lord, because this really knows me. Not what I want people think that I am, not what others say that I am. She said, he said everything about me, all about me. He said everything that I was. Of course, it was the fact that she was married four times, and the guy that she was with, she was jacking up with. You know what I'm saying? She wasn't married. She was a failure at marriage. And he knew it. But when he said it, he did it with a heart of compassion. He did it where she felt like she was known. And I believe the Lord wants us to give the word of the Lord to people where you're reading their mail. You know stuff about them that God knows, but they like, how did you know that? This goes with the territory. And you'll find that. People will go, who told you that? How did you know that? They may get angry at you. They might. Because the Lord will just tell you something for them, and they're like, where'd that come from? The Lord. God cares about you. And he's into your stuff. He knows more about you than you think you know about yourself. Amen? So God has, there is a joyfulness that comes when the word of the Lord is released at a place where people are gathering, where people are at. And that's, I believe, is the key to our harvest. It is the key to our increase. We got another word confirmation last night that God has a harvest for this church. God has an increase of souls. More people are coming to this place. I'm telling you, it is happening. It is going to happen. More people are coming. I'm telling you the way that God wants to do it. I'm telling you how he wants to do it. I believe he wants us to go and start drawing some happy water out of the well. Happy water. Everybody say happy water.
Happy water.
Not grumbling water, not bitter water, but happy water.
Happy water.
Yeah, because when you get out and you get in conversations and you hear stuff at the well, at the gathering place. I remember when I first moved down here. I'm being honest, guys. When I first moved down here and I got a job, and I'm not cracking on teachers, Jan, but I got a job at Sanville School. That's where I first met her. I used to hate being in the teacher's lounge. I hated being there because every time you walk in that teacher's lounge, all you're hearing the teachers do is nam, 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 nam about that student. Nam, nam, nam about that person. That nam, nam. And I'm like, I can't stand it in here. And back then they had smoking and everything. So I'm like, sitting there, why should I sit there and smell the stinky smoke and hear people sit there and gripe and complain? So I just took my break. I just walk outside or do something different or hang out in the gym one time. I don't know. You see what I'm saying? And I'm not trying to put people down, but the way of the world is to complain. The well is bitter. It's a bitter water. It's a complaining water. It's a grumble place. It's where people grouse about stuff. It's where they grumble. It's where they murmur. The Bible talks about murmuring and complaining and griping. But God has a prophetic word for people that is going to overpower and break down that complaining and grumbling and griping. Well, you know, Jesus just met her on the positive prophetic way. Hey, would you like to give me a drink? He says, what's wrong with you? I mean, she probably said it with a little bit of attitude. Like, why are you talking to me? Didn't she say that? Why are you speaking to me? You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. What are you doing? And she was shocked by it because he was kind to her. Good. All right, so here is the fact that here you're going out and you've got this place where people gather and their words, what's coming out of your mouth? Jesus said, if you drink of the water that I will give you out of your innermost being. Now, don't think like stomach. Innermost being, he was talking about. From the deep inside of you will flow rivers of living water. So what comes out of what's deep inside of you? Comes out of here. That's what comes out deep inside of you. So when he's talking about the Holy Spirit coming out of you, if you drink it in, There's going to be a word coming out of you that's going to bring life. It's living water. It's water that produces life, not bitter water, which is water that produces sickness and death. Got to say sickness as well. Bitter water will make you sick. It'll make you sick. It's one of the things I learned in Boy Scouts. Where to find water that you won't get sick from. And you always carried, as a good Boy Scout, I always carried my tablets with me in my backpack. So when I went camping, if I had to drop my tablets in to make the water pure, I had something. Okay? So there is this place of either bitter water. Everybody say bitter water. Come on, this is what the world's sipping. We have sickness in the world, don't we? They've been drinking bitter water. It's the water that made them sick. Because what you drink in is produces what's coming out of you. If you drink in bitter water, you're going to speak in bitter water. If you're going to, but if you drink in living water, in other words, life-giving water, the Spirit of God, you will produce out of your mouth words of life. Words of life. And that's prophesying. That's encouraging. That's worship. That's praise. That's words of knowledge. That's words of wisdom. And God has each and every one of you ready. You're ready. You've just got to go somewhere. We got to go somewhere. So as a church, we're going to do things. But I want us to encourage you that as individuals, we need to go where God wants us to go. Even when we don't want to go there. So I've been talking about the woman at the well. And I want to show you now in the scripture the what Jesus did with the woman at the well is, if you will, a New Testament parallel to what Moses did when the children of Israel left Egypt. So turn in your Bibles to Exodus 15. And we're going to look at Exodus 15. And I'm going to start officially with verse 22. But turn in your Bible to Exodus 15, verse 22. And they just left Egypt. They just left Egypt. They crossed the Red Sea. And the first thing they did when they got over is they praised God. So their mouth was changed. If you start in the beginning of Exodus, the sound you hear in the beginning of Exodus is the moaning and the pain of God's people. And God heard from heaven. He said, I'm going to do something about this. And so God changed the bitter water coming out of their mouths, the moaning and groaning, the pain of their slavery, and gave them a song of praise. And praise God, Miriam was running out there with a tambourine and dancing and praising God. So the environment that was birthed in Israel when they got saved was an environment of shouting, an environment of praising, words of joy, words of faith. They were shouting and praising God for the victory because they saw signs and wonders. They saw the plagues come upon Egypt. They saw this tremendous miracle of deliverance. And here they are, you know, singing and shouting and praising the Lord. Sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and rider thrown into the sea. That was their song. The Lord's my God and I will praise him. My Father's God and I will exalt him. So that was their confession. That was the word of the Lord coming out of their mouth. And they were singing and dancing and praising God on the other side of the Red Sea because they saw Pharaoh's chariots and his hosts. What? He threw the horse and rider in the sea. Come on now, we all even have it in our own imagery. How many of you have heard of the pale rider called death? Come on, the man on the horse that you don't want to see. Come on, it's in our literature. It's in all that. What did God do with it? He threw them in the ocean and said, goodbye. Death is done. The horse has been drowned and the rider with it. The armies of hell are gone. They're swallowed up in the depths of the earth. That's what God's doing with it. It's what he did with Jesus. And someday he's going to do that to our own bodies. Our bodies are going to be delivered from the grave. Praise the Lord. Unless he does, Jesus comes before that. Did you notice in the song, the themes of the song were all about the Lord coming? Did you see that? Several of our songs that we sang today was all about, behold, he comes riding on a cloud. There it is. He's coming. He's coming. Amen. So, how long did it take for Israel to go from a shout of praise to a moan of grumbling? How many days, people?
3 days.
Everybody, 3 days. 3 days. 3 days. They lost their song. They lost their praise. They lost it ever 3 days. Why do we have this story like this? Remember, they're an example to us. Israel is an example to us so that we don't do like they did. You learn from your what?
Mistakes.
And you hopefully learn from your successes too. But you got to learn from your mistakes before you learn from your successes. You got to repent before you get saved. So before you get saved, you learn from your mistake. When you get saved, you should be learning from your success because you made a right decision when you chose Jesus, when he came for you and you said yes. So we got to continue to learn from our successes. Now, why 3 days? Well, the Jews believed in that time, the Jews believed that you were not quite dead until after 3 days. Did you know that? That it, once you're dead, there was always that chance that you might come back. And I got to tell you another unpleasant truth. If you live in the wilderness, guys, and you're on the move all the time, I'm telling you this is a little bit of history, but if you're like living in the desert like today with Arabia and people, now they have a little different situation now because of modern equipment, but back then all you had was your camels. And so if Uncle Joe died while you're on your camel and he died one night, you just didn't leave him there because you wanted to take care of Uncle Joe, right? Right? Wasn't Abraham, they had these little places where they put people. Well, guess what? If you're a nomad type person, you never, if you were to go there, oh, a year after Abraham's, let's say Abraham's relative passed away and he buried him, the only thing you'd find in there is the bones. They don't just put whole bodies in the tombs. They never did because it wasn't a very smart thing to do. So what they did is they wrapped that baby up, they wrapped that dead person up, and they carried it along with them until they had a point in time where they could actually get rid of all the flesh off the bones. I'm being realistic now. I'm sorry, being real. Don't think about dinner right now. Of course, I just said dinner. But anyway, they waited so they can boil off and knock off all the flesh and just preserve the bones. And then they would put the bones in a bag and take them with them. And that's what happened. That's how they handled the dead people. So they believed 3 days, oh yeah, it started to really stink then. They knew when it got really bad. 3 days. As a matter of fact, when Lazarus was dead in the tomb, and Jesus said, I'm going to go raise him, what did she say?
Been dead 4 days.
Past the deadline. Verily, he stinketh. That's got to say in King James, it says so much better. Verily, it stinketh, Lord. You mean you're going to open the tomb after 3 days on the fourth day? He's been dead. You see this? So what is the Lord trying to tell us from this? No matter what you do in your flesh, it's all going to end up the same way. It's going to stink. I am sorry to tell you, folks, that you'll never come to real salvation in Jesus until you come to the conclusion, no matter what you try in your old flesh, it is stinky. It's stinky now, and it's going to be way more stinky later. It is. Humanity will stink. There will come a time when you will thirst. You won't have life in you if you don't drink something. And the first thing that you cannot do without is water. After 3 days. After 2 days, he will revive us on the third day. See, he'll raise us up. See, no matter what you do without Jesus, all it takes is 3 days and it's going to be a mess. So, you know, the problem is with people that don't know the Lord, and this was this way with me, you think you're doing just fine. And you try to mask up the stink, but then after 3 or 4 days of doing things without God, the stink gets really worse. And that's when God's trying to get a hold of your attention, and he's trying to make you thirsty enough where you start to do something about it. So they came to this place, and here's what they did. They did what unsaved people do, and I hate to say this, Christians who act unsaved do the same thing. And here's what they did. They grumbled to Moses. They grumbled to Moses. All the world knows what to do. If you're having a bad time in your life, you're going to blame somebody. You're going to blame someone else, and usually your leader. So that's what drives politics. I mean, we heard it today. What do? You let you, now, we have a representative leadership here, and supposedly they represent the will of the people, we think. And so, but you're supposed to do what? You call them up and you give them a piece of your mind. Am I right? That, you know, we need to let them know. Guess what? You're doing something stupid and you better quit it. This thing is no good and I'm against it. And you need to hear me. Well, that's what people do. That's the way of the world. The way of the world, you know, in and of itself, is the way the world works. You let your voice be heard, and you grumble, and you complain to Moses. And Moses said, hey, you're not mad at me, you're mad at God. And so you get with people. It may be a teacher's lounge. It may be a break room. It may be hanging out at the office. Thank God if you're not, again, you're hanging around with a bunch of grumblers and complainers. All they do is talk about bad stuff. But in their hearts, they think they're blaming men, but in their hearts, they're really grumbling against God. And if someone does something wrong to you and you're mad, that person did to me, look at them, they pulled out in front of me and wrecked my brand new car. And you're getting all mad at that person, that awful person. Really, really, you got to get an attitude with God, and you don't even know it. Because all I hear you say is grumble and complain about other people. See what I'm saying? We got to first understand, Moses said, it's not me you're grumbling with, it's God. And so the first thing you have to do is you have to turn. Now look what Moses did. The people grumbled to Moses, to a man. Your answer is not complaining to a person. Your answer is crying out to God. Moses said, I'm going to cry out to you. And you have a choice. You have a choice either to complain or to pray. You can, and you got to turn your grumbles into glory, prayer, praise. Thank you, Jesus. Like Pastor Ronnie said, you got to praise him before you see the answer, not just after. Praise him afterwards, but praise him before and bring your petitions. It says, bring your petitions to the Lord. Petition, supplications, with what? Thanksgiving, with thanksgiving in your hearts, with praise in your hearts. I can't wait to praise God now for what he's going to give me tomorrow. And what he's going to give me the day after and the day after. Instead of complaining what people did to you yesterday. We have to repent from grumbling and grousing. I love that word, grouse. You see this face that goes along with the words. Grouse. These horrible, upright, pain of man. I believe that we should obviously exercise our rights as citizens to inform our elected representatives of what needs to happen. But the answer, and the answer will always be, are we crying out to God or are we grumbling to our neighbor? We have to choose every time to turn our hearts to God. And I'm going to tell you, it's a water problem here. The water was what? First, there was no water. Now, you got to hear me on this. The first place was a no water place. The second place was a bitter water place. The third place was a living water place, a kingdom water place. But they wanted to grumble when they were thirsty. What do you do when you're thirsty? Don't stop at the no water place. Keep moving on. And even if you find bitter water, keep moving forward. Because I guarantee you, God will bring you to Elim. Where's Elim? Past Mara. Get out of Mara. Get out of the bitter place. And so what if it takes you another day? Keep moving until you hit the palm trees. Hey, I'll take palm trees over a sandbox any day. Sand is one thing, but sand with palm trees, that's where I want to be. Because a palm tree will not exist without water. Can't. Cactus is another thing. Cactus can live off of one rain a year, right? Palm tree is not. And you know what cactus have that palm trees don't. And you know what palm trees have that cactus don't. One thing you learn when you go to the Caribbean. First mission trip we took, one of the first things they got to us was a coconut that they drill a hole in and they stick in the fridge and you're drinking that coconut water right out of that big old nut. It's a source of water, the coconut. You could put it in your backpack. Think about the camel guys, right? They go to Elim, 12 palm trees, right? All these wells. They get their coconuts, put holes in them, stick them in their packs, and they keep rolling through that desert with that nice coconut water. It's good. It's super pure, by the way. Yeah, it's super purified. So the first thing we need to see is that our flesh can only make it 3 days. The second thing we need to see is the world is a bitter pool. The world is not a nice place. You cannot put your trust in the world. It's not going to bless you. It's going to rip you off. It's bitter. The world is a bitter pool. But there is oasis. This place was prophesied in the 70s that it was going to be an oasis. I've got the word. This place was a well of refreshing. It was an oasis. Come on, I feel the presence of the Lord. I'm getting the chills all over me. An oasis for the thirsty and the dry, because religion will not satisfy you. You can go into some place that somebody calls a church, whatever they call it, and go through the motions. But if the water of life is not there, you're not going to have your thirst taken care of. Religion won't do it. Business won't do it. Philosophy won't do it. Popular culture won't do it. The internet will not give you thirst. Will not take your thirst. Enough of that will fill you. It's a bitter pool. You know, I want to show you a little bit of thing, and then we'll finish it up. It says the people grumbled, and that it's really funny about the Hebrew language. But that word grumbled, if you were to look it up in a Hebrew dictionary, it was first used to mean to stop and to stay the night, to stay in the night and not move forward. That was the word it was used. And it was almost like stop using that nighttime language. Stop using a language that says stay, stop, don't go forward, get stuck. And I would probably use a word like stuck. What are you getting stuck for? Why are you all gummed up now? Why aren't you moving? Why aren't you getting through this? You know, we use that expression. I'm going to get through this thing. No matter what trouble I'm facing, I'm getting through this. But when you get stuck in a situation, it's like that's when the bitter gets there. And it says that they grumbled. And I'm always thinking of the word sundowning, because we experience that. When you deal with people with certain diseases, when the sun goes down, they just lose their minds. There's something about that. And look what he said to them later on. They threw a tree in the water, which is the cross, which is a great, you know, great thing there. Oh, he just threw a tree in there. Well, that's the cross. God makes the bittersweet through the cross. And then the Lord made for them a statute and a rule, and there he tested them. Okay, saying, here's what the Lord will do. The Lord will step out and pray, but when you pray, he will also give you a word that you can live your life by. There is the written word of God that to us, that will not just solve our present crisis, but look at what it says. If you do this word, in verse 26, if you keep the word, not just pray in your crisis, but if you keep this word that I am giving you that comes out of your crisis, if you do this word, I will give you more than you ask for. I won't put any diseases on you. Anything that you saw hit the Egyptians won't hit you. He says, for I am Jehovah Jireh. I am the Lord, your healer. See, bitter water will make you sick, but living water will heal you. This word was said to them right before they came to the healing waters of Elim. Right there. God will give us good drinking water. If they had just made a few more steps, they wouldn't have stopped at the bitter pool. They could have just kept going. They could have kept moving and not stopping. Amen? And they camped by the 12 palm trees. They camped by the 12 trees. They had shade and they had water. Praise God. Amen? So that's the word. That's the word for today. God's got some healing waters that flow out of you for other people. So we will, yes, we will prophesy over people. But there are times when you're going to speak a word that's going to bring healing to somebody. some bitter waters. You're going to meet thirsty people, and you're going to meet some hurting people. Amen.
Shield of